Are you a single believer looking for the love of your life?
Or are you a married believer looking to grow the love you already have?
If you like practical advice
based on the Word of God
with real life examples,
you're in the right place.
I'm Cindy.
And I'm Wayne.
Welcome to Love with the Lines. Hello, and welcome to Love with the Lines. I'm Cindy.
And I'm Wayne.
And this is episode 88.
Wow, 88.
Don't tell me you remember 1988.
Well, actually, I do, but nothing specific stands out.
I would say I'm clueless about what happened in 1988.
Well, I know where I was working. I know who I was married to. I had a little girl.
Who would have been three?
Ish. I don't know.
All right. Well.
Anyway.
Let's move on.
But
so you can probably, you can probably hear in Wayne's voice, he's a little under the weather. He had a little respiratory thing going on over the weekend, which is one of the reasons we're a little later getting the podcast out. And so he's probably not going to talk too much, but that's what's going on with him, if you're wondering. Tonight we are going to talk about something that was actually Wayne's idea to talk about, is what to do for the holidays when you're an empty nester. So we know we've been empty nesters for a long time now. My gosh, probably like 20 years.
A while.
Not quite 20 years, but because Ashley got married, she was still in college, finishing her college, her master's degree when she got married. And yeah. So anyway, and the scripture for today is from Proverbs 22, verse 6, and it says, train up a child in the way he should go, even when he is old, he will not depart from it. And the commentary in the scripture, in the article I was reading it, said that this means your influence as a parent endures even when the kids have moved out. So that's that. Oh, and our cat is joining us. So if you hear strange noises, it's Miss Simone joining us for the podcast. So, all right. Well, we're sharing some excerpts from an article called Your Ultimate Guide to Holidays as an Empty Nester. It was written by Mark and Jill Savage at jillsavage.org. And it's a recent article. It was just released in October of this year, 2024. And as always, I will put a link to the article in the podcast description so you can access it yourself. This is couple that does marriage coaching, actually does marriage coach training. Mark was a pastor for 20 years. They've raised five children and now have five adult children and eight grandchildren. So they've had some experience with this topic. Jill starts out the article by saying, your Thanksgiving feast is ready to go. Every Christmas stocking has been hung with care and you're feeling ready for a festive holiday season. There's just one thing missing, your adult children and their families. She then goes on to list some conversations that may sound familiar to you. We're actually going to visit the in-laws for Thanksgiving this year. Or we were hoping to start our own Christmas morning tradition with the kids. Or plane tickets are just too expensive this year. Jill adds that as our children fly the nest, head off to college, and even start families of their own, the holidays could become more challenging to navigate for both us and them. And then she goes on to talk about how she and her husband have been through this process with all five of their own children. And that they've learned that while being an empty nester might mean a shorter holiday to-do list, it doesn't always mean that the holiday season is easier to manage. And so here is some advice that they give, whether this is your first year as an empty nester or you've been doing it for 10 years. And they hope these tips will be helpful to you. This is, I think, the most critical tip of the whole thing, and I have been trying to practice all the way around, not just with empty nesting, but just with a lot of things regarding the holidays, and that's to let go of expectations. She goes on to say that one of the hardest but most essential parts of having adult children is learning when to let go. The truth is we can't hold our adult children to the same expectations we did when they lived in our home. And here are some examples of expectations that we might need to let go of as our children transition into adulthood. First, how quickly or how often they communicate with you. That their priorities will match yours. Knowing all the details of what's happening in their life. Mm. And being privy to the decisions they make regarding their appearance, jobs, romantic partners, and more.
Well, that's a lot of stuff right there.
That is a lot of stuff there, but that's mm-hmm. stuff I know we've definitely had to mm-hmm. navigate. And we've done some of it well and some of it not mm-hmm. so well. And you will, trust me, you will know when you do it not so well. Mm-hmm. And Jill goes on to say that expectations will get us into trouble every time. They set us up for disappointment and leave us feeling disconnected when they're not met. So when we make a shift from full house to empty nest, our expectations need to shift as well. She adds, if we can learn to identify expectations and let go of them, we'll be better able to walk in love and grace. If we stop expecting to know things we would have known in the past, we'll be able to embrace something new when we see it. If we stop expecting our kids' priorities to be the same as ours, we won't be offended when our differences clash. If we stop expecting our kids to communicate as often as we would like, we'll be able to appreciate the moments we do get to connect with them even more. And if we stop expecting to be able to change them, we will be able to accept who they are and embrace the work God is doing in their life. She adds, as you adjust or let go of expectations, you'll find that your contentment will increase, your love will expand, and your relationship with your adult children will grow stronger. You'll also be able to handle the holidays better. I think we went through that with my mother. She mm-hmm. had really specific expectations for how things were supposed to yep. go, especially holidays. Do you remember how angry she got with us when we would invite random people to yep. Thanksgiving dinner? Oh,
yeah, that did not go well.
That did not go well because, you know, the expectation was that you only have family there, that it's a family time and everything else, where it was our wish to open our home to people that didn't have anywhere to go for Thanksgiving. And, yeah, my mom did not like that nope. at all.
Yeah, that did not go well.
Mm-hmm. So in her story, she talks about one of their examples and says that several years ago, they didn't spend Thanksgiving with a single one of their five children. Did it feel odd? Yes. Was it the best for everyone? We think so. And she said the reality was that each of our children had valid reasons they couldn't join us. So instead of gathering our immediate family, Mark and I drove a couple hours to spend time with our parents, who we rarely see on holiday. You know, and that's, she goes on to say things that we have to consider. And one of them is, she says, I love the holidays, but I don't love them more than I love my mm-hmm. family. And she says, I love traditions, but I don't love them more than the people I share those traditions with. And sometimes the most loving thing we could do is give our family freedom. To some extent, it's important to make peace with letting go of traditions in the empty nest season of life. And then she talks about the expectations that happen to our kids. And depending on where you are in your stage of life, you probably can relate to some of these, or you have memories of it like we do. And it's like, and she says, there's nothing worse than being expected to be at two family holiday celebrations in one day.
Oh, yeah, we've done that before.
Mm-hmm. And in a divorce or two, add in a divorce or two, and that number could increase to 3 or 4, not to mention new traditions the new family wants to create themselves. And it just creates obligation, it makes people run from house to house, and it really isn't a fun time for anybody. I think we've seen that with people we know where there's multiple divorces in mm-hmm. the family, and they have to shift what day they're going to celebrate the holiday yeah. based on everybody's custody arrangements and when they can have their kids and have them all together. And so it can be very, very trying. And if you have expectations that things have to be a certain way. So we know of a situation where a family was trying to get together. And so the part of the family couldn't get there till evening for Christmas dinner. But then there was some disagreement among the family members because apparently one of the grandparents who had passed away, when he was alive, they always ate Christmas dinner at 1 o'clock. And so the couple that was trying to get there, in fact, it was actually two couples trying to get there for dinner, found out was that the family was going to go ahead and have their Christmas dinner at 1 o'clock. And then the families, the two couples that were coming, were going to get heated it up
leftovers
at dinner time. Wait, everybody was going to eat together, but it was not going to be the fresh Christmas meal. It was going to be leftovers. Well, that didn't go over with the two couples that were going there, because the thing was, well, why can't you change your tradition? You know, that person is gone, and you had, and they were saying that person would not have wanted this kind of fussing over a tradition. You know, that person would have been like, I'm gone, do what works for all of you. But they were making this into some kind of a sacred thing that had to happen every year. And it really, it caused a pretty much knockdown, drag-out fight between two of the family members over this. And it ended up getting resolved, and they ended up having dinner together. But it was like trying to convince them, the two couples that were coming that needed to get there later in the day, trying to convince them that it was important to make new traditions with the people that are still here. It took quite a bit of doing. Mm-hmm. So these ideas and traditions can be really entrenched in families. Yes, so you don't want to end up in that situation. So be open to creating new traditions. So she goes on to say, you know, once all your kids are married, you may be able to gather every other Thanksgiving or every other Christmas, but with the right mindset, you can still make the most of any situation. So they give some suggestions, trying to make the off years special for yourself, perhaps a getaway to a beautiful, warm destination. Mm-hmm. Start new family traditions. Choose one that doesn't conflict with any other major holiday. And then a third suggestion is to take the adventures you've always wanted to embark on with another empty nest mom or your spouse if you're married. Enjoy experiences you couldn't while the kids were at home. And so by doing that, by making other plans, you take the pressure off your adult children, because then they're not worried about what you're doing. And please do not be the parents that mope and carry on. If any of you are on Reels or on Instagram, I don't know if it's called Boomer Mom or what it's called, but there's these things, because sometimes I watch these, it's, you know, when your Boomer Mom does this, and if you don't know what a Boomer is in the United States, people that were born in the 40s and the early 60s are considered baby boomers. So if you have a Boomer Mom, you're in that. I'm a Boomer Mom. And sometimes I see myself in these spoofs, and I go, ouch, and I send things to our daughter, and I'm like, does this remind you of anybody? But sometimes you can really lay on the guilt about being the one who's left behind or who doesn't get included in a celebration, especially if your kids are going to the other in-laws or the other family for the holiday. So please don't be that one. I know, I think I do it in unintentionally sometimes, but I try really hard not to lay that guilt trip on our daughter, so that they can just be where they need to be when they need to be to get to see all the families. So another suggestion they have is to have open, grace-filled conversations. And she says this was a text that she actually received when she invited some of the kids over for Easter dinner. And the text was, we won't be able to join this year. And she says, and guess what? I don't know the exact reason why this family unit wouldn't be joining us, and I never asked. Whoa, she never asked. Why? Because they've already had open conversations with all of their kids, and the kids know that the parents are operating on an invitation without guilt principle. So that means that they're adult. Yeah, isn't that great? Invitation without guilt. That means that their adult children always have the freedom to do whatever they feel is best for their families. She adds, we're still human, which means we may feel disappointed when a family member can't attend a holiday gathering. But because we've had open conversations, they know they have the freedom to decline our invitation, and we trust they have a good reason for doing so. And she says, when you allow your adult children to voice their concerns and desires freely, you gain a clear picture of everything they are trying to juggle. You'll feel how much they wish they could do it all, and you realize that you never needed to feel afraid of losing them in the first place. And that's what they're saying. Communication can start from a place of understanding and grace rather than judgment. Yeah, I thought that was really good, to have that understanding that you can just cancel. You don't even have to give a reason why.
Nope.
We, you know, I mean, this is, I'm backing up a little bit to when she said about starting new traditions. Because we did that. We insisted when Ashley was little that she get to open her presents in the morning, that she needs to got to be in her own bed. She got to get up in her own house. She got to see the tree and get her presents and open the presents and play with her toys and not have to run off somewhere. Mother wasn't so keen on that either, but we worked around that. We ended up where we had them for brunch. Now, my mother still insisted that we had to go to their house, which that was one we never quite conquered, but until they were, they're gone, so that's not a thing now. But we just always insisted that Ashley would have Christmas at our own house. Now, when she got older, then we could change things up around, especially like some days, depending on what day of the week Christmas was, we'd be through opening our presents. And if we were scheduled to go to Wayne's family the next day, she might say, can we go to grandma's early? Can we go tonight? Which would thrill his mom if we showed up on Christmas night and we were close enough we could do it. So it was a 2-hour drive. But, sometimes you just need to change that stuff around. Jill finishes up the article by suggesting that you maintain an open door policy. She says, as our adult children transition from living under our care to gaining full independence, they have to work through many challenges. They're trying to balance who they want to be, what they want to do, and where their priorities are. They're not going to get it right all the time, and they will certainly make many mistakes along the way. Despite this, it's important to maintain an open door policy so your kids know they're welcome in your home. Now, that doesn't mean you have to provide them with free rent, free food, and zero responsibilities. But when it comes to holiday gatherings and special events, be prepared for the possibility that you won't know if your adult child can make an appearance until the last minute. And instead of criticizing them for doing that at the last minute, express gratitude that you got some time with them. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where we need to do. We need to be thankful. I've tried very hard. Ashley and Dave have a very hectic life. The boys are at a busy stage in their school and with other activities. And Ashley works, Dave works, we're working. I try not to put demands on them. In fact, so much got to the help one time where we really needed help with something. And Ashley was a little upset with us because we didn't ask for help. But it was like, we're trying not, it's a balance. We're still learning how to balance that, how to ask for help when we need it, but we have to be okay with that maybe she can't come. Maybe she and Dave can help us when we need something and we need to find somewhere else. But anyway, I hope this article helps you empty nesters out here. I thought there were some really good points in here, not only for the holidays, but just on navigating that relationship with your adult children. Lots of young moms at church have asked me what I thought the most difficult stage of parenting is. And I say by far parenting your adult children because there's so much, it's a dance to do. So I will post this article in the description. You can check it out and check out their other resources. So until we talk to you again, we pray that your marriages and relationships will be richly blessed.
God bless.
Bye. Bye.